Well, it's good to see you out this morning. It's good to be out this morning. I'm thankful for Paul for filling in for me last week. As I've told several of you, I got the phone call at 8:30 that I was allowed to leave quarantine. By 8:35, I was out the door. I was ready to be out of that house. But it's good to be here this morning. Will make mention, I forgot to tell Paul, I made the bulletin and I left it at home, and in the bulletin has this note, so that's why I didn't even think to tell Paul. Wayne Chambers, Linda's husband, tested positive for COVID last week. He did have to go to the ER on Thursday, but was able to come home. They gave him some fluids, and they think he's going to be improving well, but he was having a little bit of a rough spot there that day. So just keep him and Linda and Sister Minnie and the family in your prayers as he's recovering from that as well. This morning, we're talking about God's measure, if you'll let me title it that way. You know, we often measure different items by different characteristics. Case in point, this week being Thanksgiving, as was mentioned this morning, on Thursday, several will be eating turkey. And when you go to the grocery store, you measure the turkey by the number of pounds based upon how many people you want to feed. You need a small turkey for a smaller crowd, a larger turkey for a bigger crowd. And so you measure it by the pounds. You can't measure it by how the meat's going to taste because you don't know. You're not able to see inside the wrapping. And so you're measuring it solely off of the pound weight that's put on it. And so we make these different decisions based on different measures. When deciding on a different product, we may decide between two different brands based on price. And then after we've tried both brands, we may say, well, this one may be a dollar more, but I like it a lot better, so it's worth the dollar more. And so now we're not buying it based off the price, but we're buying it based off of what's inside of it. But normally on the first time around, what is our general way we measure something? By how it appears on the outside, by what it looks like. And so we find ourselves guilty of that, but it's not just us. If you look at Samuel in this context, the First Samuel chapter 16, he takes a look at Eliab, and what does he say? Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. What does Samuel know about Eliab at this point? He knows he's the son of Jesse. He knows that's where he was supposed to go. But what else does he know about Eliab? What he can see in front of him. And so he's making a decision based upon what his eyes are telling him. And as you'll see, with each of the sons, they're passing before him. And what is it said? Neither has the Lord chosen this one. Neither has the Lord chosen that one. Samuel is making decisions of his own based on what he sees. But what does God say in verse 7? The Lord says to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And so we need to understand that when we're talking about God's measure, it's not based on the outward show. It's not based on the outward appearance. It's based on the inside. It's based upon the heart inside. We need to be considering using God's measure in making our decisions today as well. And so what this lesson is really entailing, I plan to do a second part to this in a couple weeks of God's measure in regards to congregations. But this morning we want to look at God's measure of a strong Christian. If we're using God's measure, what does a strong Christian look like? And so we're going to do this in a little bit of two ways. We're going to start by how we would often measure a strong Christian. And then look at how God measures a strong Christian found in the Scriptures. So when we talk about strong Christians, what are some things that come to our mind? If you take just a minute to think in your head, I want you to come up with three words that you would use to describe a strong Christian. Oftentimes, we, as maybe our first one, say, well, they're always there. They're always in attendance. You know, we often consider if they attend all of the services, they must be a faithful brother. And if they attend just some of the services, then they must be weak brethren. Another one we might use, and we'll talk about these in a minute, but let's get them on the board, is, well, they participate. Yes. They participate in the different activities of the congregation. Well, they teach Bible class or they go visit people. They're active in evangelism, so then they must be strong brethren. But if for any reason they don't participate in all that the church offers, their commitment is not fully there. And then, as we've been talking about on our Sunday nights, maybe the idea of leadership. Men are considered strong Christians if they are elders, if they're leading in singing, if they're leading in prayers, if they're serving the Lord's Supper, if they're teaching classes, if they're preaching. Women are considered strong if they teach children's classes, women classes, prepare communion, clean the building. Is there anything wrong with any of these? Is it anything wrong to measure people by these? Really and truly, no. Because if there are lacking in their attendance, that might be indicative of another sign. If they don't participate in anything, that might be indicative of another sign. And if they're not willing to step up, then that might be indicative of another sign. But what's the problem here? What do all these three items revolve around? If they're here, what they do, how they do it. It's all based on their actions. It's all based on their outward appearance, if you will. The problem with measuring Christians solely in these ways is people can do all of these things and still be spiritually weak. People can be here every service, be participating, be leading in singing, prayers, teaching, and be spiritually weak. They can be hypocrites and be doing all of these things. And so if we are measuring solely on these items, we're not seeing the full picture. We're not glancing at the full idea here. You know, if we are measuring solely on what's behind me on the board, we are neglecting the nature of the body of Christ. We are neglecting how God intended Christians to act, how he intended them to be. And if we put our emphasis on the public functions, if that's where our emphasis is, then we are going to be seeing people who are approved by the public. How do people outside of this congregation know you? Well, those you're closest to know the real you. But if you're a business owner, if you're in politics, if you're a doctor, lawyer, how do people in the community know you? By where you are, what you do, and how you do it. They don't know the real inside of you. They don't know the heart of you. And so if we're putting emphasis on the public functions, we're considering it more important than anything else. Look in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, if one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Paul is showing all of these different traits, all of these different characteristics here in the book of Romans. And what we can find ourselves guilty of is exalting one or two of them above the rest. And if this is how we're measuring people solely, then we've exalted the public functions and not the private and not the spiritual side. And Paul is equating all these the same. He's not saying, well, the one who teaches, you teach more than the rest of this. The one who gives, you give him more generosity than the rest of this. He's not elevating him above one another. They're all on one playing field. And so we need to be careful not to measure with public appearance only. Look with me, if you will, at how God measures. We're going to look at two main passages, and then we'll hint at some others. First one being Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Here are qualities that God is defining as a man who is truly spiritual. And there's evidence that this is one who is led by the Spirit of God, and one who is truly spiritual is going to be involved in these activities. How do you see peace? You might see a peaceful situation, but can you see peace in and of itself? What about kindness? How do you see kindness? You can see acts of kindness, but can you put a picture to the word kindness? What about love? You can picture acts of love. You can see how individuals love one another. But is the heart what love is? Is the heart, is that love? What about any of these things? Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You can see the works of these actions, but can you put a face to them? Is it something that we wear on our chest that says kindness, generosity, love? Do we have shirts we're supposed to be wearing to show this to people? These are actions these are characteristics that mold our actions. And so when you're talking about someone who's involved in all this, in love and joy and peace and all these different things, they're going to be there when they can to be with their brethren. They're going to do what they can to be involved. They're going to step up where needed that the Lord's church might be taken care of. These individuals are going to do these things we measure as public actions, but it's because of their heart. It's because of the type of people they are. In order to measure by this standard that God is saying here, our inner self must be willing to change, must be willing to adapt and have these traits become a part of us. Now notice, if you will, with me, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. If you have therefore been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Keep going 3 and 4. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. This is the first paragraph here of what individuals have made chapter 3. Here, Paul is saying, if you've been raised with Christ, what does the word raised imply? That you've been down, that you've been buried. So, what is down and what should be coming up? Well, if you notice, if you have a Bible that does paragraphs, verse 5 starts the next paragraph, and it goes through verse 11, and then verse 12 is the next paragraph. Verse 5, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, and then it goes on to talk about all of these different characteristics that should be a part of the old man, the one who is down. Now notice verse 12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So you have, if we've been raised in Christ, all of these former lustly, fleshly things are to be put down, put to death, and you're to arise as this new creature. And so here, when we're talking about God's measuring of a Christian, it starts with changing ourselves from these former things. You know, the sad reality is that these things listed in verses 5 through 11 can be found in people who are always here, who are participating, and who are even leaving. Because they've not put it away. And so we can find ourselves dangerously calling someone strong when they're still the same person they were. If we're not careful, and if we're using the wrong measure. When you consider other passages, such as 1 Timothy 6, where he's talking to preachers, that one may preach a good sermon, but what does his life show? You know, I'm sure there are others here who can think of individuals who can preach a good sermon, but their life wasn't a good sermon. You know, Paul talked about that he worked so that he might not be disqualified. How would he be disqualified? By doing exactly what he was teaching against. By being guilty in the sight of God. Elders, they may be married. They may have children who believe, as we've been discussing. But what if they're quick to anger? What if they're harsh and not gentle? What if they're unhospitable? Are they caring for the flock in the way God intended? And members may be attending services faithfully, but what about their conduct? Is it resembling one approved by God? And so when we look at God's measure of a strong Christian, we need to recognize that what the emphasis is on is the inside. Surely we need to be making every opportunity to be at all services. But you know, we have members here who some days just aren't able to get out. Their health keeps them away when they want to be here. Does that disqualify them as a strong Christian? We need to be participating in whatever ways we can. Teaching, visiting. But you know, there's some who aren't able to teach. Does that disqualify them from being a strong Christian? And we need to be stepping up and leading where needed. Leading in songs, teaching classes, giving invitations, giving prayers, assisting with the Lord's Supper when one day hopefully we'll go back to preparing the Lord's Supper. But if there's an individual whose health keeps them from doing that, are they not a strong Christian? Let me tell you, one of the deacon's wives in Cookeville hit this point home for me more than I've ever had it before. There was an older individual at the congregation who was still trying to serve in multiple ways who did not need to be, my friends. And by that what I mean is their memory had long gone and they were saying things that should not have been said. And I remember complaining about it, and she looked at me and she said, "I understand your point, but I want you to think 30, 40 years ago, that was the most active member of this congregation. That was the individual who went out and taught more people than anybody else here combined." He said, "Yes, he needs to stop because of his health. But don't let that be your remembrance of that man." Whoops, stepped on my toes. Because what was I doing? Judging him on what I saw. And while my judgment wasn't wrong, it might have been harsh, there was more to the story that I didn't know. We need to be measuring people the way the Lord measures them. And so we're looking at their heart. And we're seeing the fruit of their heart. The kindness, the compassion, the love, the mercy. An individual whose heart is truly set on the things that God intends, these things fall into place. Sometimes I think we, and I say we because I know I'm guilty of it, we push very hard on these three items. And we're neglecting the root, and that's the heart. These three come from properly attuned hearts. Brethren who may seem passive inside the congregation, inside when we're here on Sundays and Wednesdays, may be extremely active apart from here. Active in their warfare against personal sin, active in their daily service to others in the name of Christ. There's activity that we may never see, and we don't have to see, because the Lord knows, and that's what matters. So before we're quick to judge on the outward public appearance of a Christian, let's take a step back and consider how God measures. The purpose in discussing this has not been so that we can now go around the room and take out a score pad and give everyone a 1 out of 10 based on God's measurement. But this is really more to suggest that we need to be careful in how we measure others. And we need to make sure that we're properly measuring our own selves. Remember 1 Samuel 16 verse 7. "Do not look on his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." I hope this lesson has been beneficial to you. And hopefully our second part will be as well. But let me say this. In recognizing that we are supposed to measure as God sees, there should be an understanding there that God truly knows us. He knows our heart. He knows how we live. He knows what we do. And so we may can hide what we want to from other people. But my friends, we can't hide it from God. And so as we examine ourselves by God's measure, what would the Lord see? If Christ was to come again today, how would we fare in the judgment? We all need to be able to say that we have lived a life acceptable to God. And if we're looking back on our life and we're seeing things that we've done that we've not asked for forgiveness, that we've not made right with Him, first be thankful we have an opportunity to do so. And secondly, resolve to do it as immediately as possible. Don't let today go by being in a wrong state with God. And so if we can help you this morning in any way, won't you let us know as we stand and as we sing the song that's been selected.